Tefillah. Tefillah is so rich and so much on our minds right now. Baruch Hashem, it's when something is taken away, sometimes it's the irony of how we are as human beings is that we sometimes appreciate things more when we miss them. And certainly Tefillah, this is we're at a critical juncture of sort of thinking about the gift of davening and thinking about the process of davening. And I thought it would be a particularly apropos moment to really turn our analytic tools also towards trying to understand Tefillah, to use this Monday night in Chabura as an opportunity to do that sort of at the nexus of Lamdas and Halacha Lamaisa, and both of them feeding in to an appreciation on a Hashkaf, on a Machshava level also. We're trying to understand what tefillah is and how it works, and to appreciate the gift and hopefully to be equipped to do it right in the halachic sense and to do it right, to appreciate it more deeply. And, you know, whether tefillah is an obligation or not, is a famous machlokas harishonim. Rambam, I'll bring the Rambam up. So the Rambam famously has a section of his halacha sefer entitled Hilchas Tefillah, and opens by formulating that there is a mitzvah d'oraisa of davening. Mitzvah say lehispalel b'chol yom. Shene Amar, a pasuk in Chumash Shemos, a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Va'avartem is Hashem Elokeichem. We have a commandment to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be Oved. To be Oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? That could mean many different things. To worship the Lord. To serve the Lord, that's pretty broad. That sounds like it's all of Halacha. That doesn't sound like it's necessarily about Tefillah, you know, more than anything else. But it's in the Piyah Shmuel Lamdu, Chazal explained to us, Avodazu, he tefillah. That this Avoda, the requirement to be Oved Hashem, has a particular meaningfulness in the world of tefillah. Shenemar, a pasuk that we say several times a day. In the second paragraph of Kriyat Shema, La'avda b'chal avavchem, to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your heart, Amru Chachamim, Ezao Avodah Shebelev, Haviomer Zu tefillah. What does it mean to be, to worship him, to serve him with one's heart, with one's lave? Usually we think about worship having something that you're, perhaps you're offering a karban or something else that's physical, that would involve the hands and feet. But to be Oved Hashem with your lave, that's clearly not karbanos, it's not most mitzvahs, it must be a reference to the avoda of tefillah. And in fact, this is not the Rambam's chiddush. The Rambam is referencing a piyashmo lamdu. He's referencing a comment of the Tanaim that's quoted on the opening amud of Maseches Tanis. Li'avos Hashem Elokeichem, Tanis Dav Beis Amud Av, La'avde B'chal Avavchem, Ezohi Avodah Shehi B'leiv, Havi Omer Zu Tefillah. Which Avodah is B'leiv? That's Tefillah. So the Rambam said, there you go. It's a braisa that the Bavli quotes in Tanis Dav Beis Amud Av. The Gemara is understanding that this is a pasuk in the Torah, that La'avda b'chal avavchem is a reference to tefillah. So Rambam says, look, what do we have in the psukim? He goes on to say in Perak Aleph Halacha Aleph, Ein minyan ha'tefilas min ha'torah, Ein mishna ha'tefilah hazos min ha'torah, Ein ha'tefilas man kavua min ha'torah. He said, the number of times that you daven per day, that's not a chiyav d'oraisa. Min ha'torah, it's once a day, every day. Two, three times a day, that's midrabanan. And the Mishnah HaTfila, what the text of the Shemona Esrei should be, that's not Min HaTorah either. Min HaTorah, you have a lot of flexibility in terms of what you say. Midrabanan is a minimum requirement of Shemona Esrei. And in Litfila is Man Kavua Min HaTorah. Min HaTorah, there's no particular time. The Doraisa obligation, not necessarily at morning or specifically afternoon or specifically at night. But the Rambam says there is a mitzvah Min HaTorah to daven. To daven once a day, every day. Once a day, every day. That's a din daraisa. The Rambam seems to understand this comes up other places as well. The Torah didn't say every day either; just said la'avda b'chol avavchem va'avadetzem mitzvah Hashem elokeichem. So it seems like there's a shechta points out from time to time this will come up in certain mitzvahs. That sort of this is understood, and this is one of the examples of, is this Rambam about tefillah d'oraisa, that there's a default frequency of a mitzvah is daily. Most mitzvahs, it's specified. You know, shofar specifically Rosh Hashanah, and lulav is specifically on Sukkot, and so on and so forth. And some mitzvahs don't lend themselves to a frequency. Sometimes it depends on a contingency. The Torah says, if ani comes over, pasoach tiftach. Right? When you buy a house, so then you put up a mezuzah. Right? The vast majority of mitzvahs is an indication as to either how frequent or when the mitzvah applies or under what circumstances a mitzvah applies. But when a mitzvah is not, there's no specific, when it's clear that it has to have some sort of period, some sort of frequency, and the Torah doesn't specify, so the default frequency, the default period of a mitzvah is daily. That may well be the case by tefillin, and according to Rambam, that is the case when it comes to tefillah as well. Now, it's interesting that there's another place where the Torah speaks about tefillah. It's actually this week's parsha. It's not obvious, but it's there. In the middle of Parshas Baha'alosha, in Revi, the second half of Revi, the opening psukim of Perek Yud, here in Parshas Baha'alosha, it's part of the final preparations, what was supposed to be, as the Rav put it, a triumphant march into Eretz Yisrael. They've been at Har Sinai for almost a year. They came to Har Sinai, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It's now the 20th of Iyar they're going to leave. A year minus 10 days, and there are no simanachnu, as Moshe says to Yisrael in this week's parasha. We are traveling to Eretz Yisrael. And that would have happened were it not for the downward spiral of Chatan that begin with the misonanim in this week's parasha, and end with the Chet HaMeraglim in next week's Seder, which finally seals the decree that Jews will have to wait a generation before they can enter Eretz Yisrael. But as part of the triumphant march, ultimately they do enter Eretz Yisrael, but postponed. But one of the final preparations is the Chatzotzros. There's a lot to say about Chatzotzros beyond the framework of this Ian Shir. Fascinating that the Chatzotzros is used for many different things. Chatzotzros is used for gathering the nation. Chatzotzros are used to express simcha. Yalav yavo corresponds to that aspect of Chatzotzros. The same set of days, Yom Tov and the Chol HaMoed in Rosh Chodesh. And the Torah tells us in Perek Yud Pasuk Tes, it's also used in times of crisis. When there's war, or Chazal understand when there are other crises as well. National crises call for Chatzotzros. Matter of fact, there was some tshuvas written in 1973, the first time that the state of Israel was at war after regaining Makam Mikdash, after regaining the Kotel. So there was some discussion, maybe centered around Magen Avraham and Minchas Chinuch, whether this mitzvah applies bizman hazeh when you have no Beis HaMikdash. And I believe there was a group of Kohanim that blew Chatzotzros in 1973 during the Yom Kippur War. Because there is an approach that this mitzvah should apply even if we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Rambam understands that this mitzvah applies more broadly. The opening of Hilchas Tanios, the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah of Za'aka Be'es Tzara, to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a time of crisis. He says, not only do we cry out, but we even fast, we even blow Chatzotzros. So the Chatzotzros here is sort of an example of tefillah, an example of a cry to Ribbono Shel Olam. Fascinating. So for the Rambam, there are two mitzvos d'oraisa of tefillah. There's a daily mitzvah of tefillah that appears in the first parak of Hilchos Tefillah, And then there's that again, as we said before, that has sort of the regular default frequency of once a day, every day, min ha-Torah. Obviously, midrabanan, we're mechuyav to daven several times a day, but the chiyuv daraisa with the Rambam is once a day, every day. That's the standard mitzvah tefillah, es la'avdu l'chol avchem. And then there's a mitzvah root in this week's parsha of a tefillah be'eis tzara, and that the Rambam focuses on in Hilchos Tanyos. Now, if you take a look though at Maseches Brachos, so it gets a little sticky. Take a look at Maseches Brachos Daf Chaf Amud Beis Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Let's take a look here. So the Mishnah raises the question of whether or not I can be Maharher. This is something that we came across before Yom Tov when we were involved in the sugya of Birkas HaTorah. Gara wants to know, let's say for some reason, for halachic reasons or otherwise, sometimes comes up a person had had friends who have had surgery on their vocal cords to remove polyps. You're severely limited in terms of how much you can speak. Many surgeons, I had a friend who was told by a surgeon, I believe it was for the first week, 100 words a day. 100 words a day. He had a whole cheshbon. He's going to say, I love you to his wife X number of times. And then I think he's going to try to get the first paragraph of Kriyat Shema twice a day. He was a very thought out fellow. But that's a question. So he's medically incapable of speaking. He's going to eat. He can't say Birkas HaMazon. Not allowed to say Birkas HaMazon. With his verbalize, or for halachic reasons, the mission discusses Balkari at a certain point in Jewish history. So what will you do? So you see, the Gemara gets into the question of here or kedibur dami. Let's say I think through the mitzvah. Now the fellow had surgery on his vocal cords, and he comes out of the bathroom, so he can't say an Asher Yatzar. He wants to eat. He can't say a bracha rishona, a bracha achrona. He can't say Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei is way over 100 words. So what's he gonna do? So the Gemara gets involved in the question of hiru kedibur dami. Because the Mishnah seems to say that at least for some dinim, the fellow can think through the words if he's not incapable of saying them. That's the Gemara gets involved in. Hiru kedibur dami, have the right to, that maybe thinking it is the equivalent of speech. Obviously not an ideal. Not as a shalobish le musa. If you have the capacity to speak, of course you have to articulate the words. But maybe when you're stuck, you're a kedibur dami. Now the Gemara gets involved in machlokas about that. Yes, no, Rav Chisda says. Ravina says yes, Rav Chisda says no, and so on and so forth, back and forth. So that begins with Chafam and Beis, and continues on Chafal from Aleph, the next Amud. And the Gemara says, we seem to have a little bit of a stira. The Gemara says, on the one hand, we would tell you that if you're incapable of saying, reciting Kriyat Shema, reciting Birkas HaMazon, so you need to be Maharer. And on the other hand, Ha'omer B'Tfilah, Gemara quotes a Mishnah later in the third parak, that if you're incapable of saying Shmon Esrei, would say, don't say it at all. That's what it seems like. If you haven't started Shmon Esrei, you're incapable of saying Shmon Esrei, you don't have to say it. So which one is it? The Gemara says, well, here's the difference. Kriyat Shema right before the two dots. Kriyat Shema Birkas HaMazon Daraisa Utfila Darabanan. Wow. Gemara says, black on white. Kriyat Shema is Daraisa. Birkas HaMazon is Daraisa. As a matter of fact, the very next passage in the Gemara is what we where we began the discussion of Birkas HaTorah, where the Gemara says Birkas HaMazon and Birkas HaTorah, those are Daraisa. So the Gemara said the lead into that is Birkas HaMazon is Daraisa, Kriyat Shema is Daraisa, but Tefillah is Drabanan. Wow, Beferish a Gemara, and this Gemara is marshaled by the Ramban. The Ramban, here, take a look. Ramban's very unhappy with the Rambam. The Rambam, we saw in Mishnah Torah in Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam opens Hilchos Tefillah with a statement that Tefillah is a mitzvah asay. So not surprisingly, when you look back at the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which was the preamble the Rambam wrote to the Mishnah Torah. I should say not scaffolding, but it was a preliminary work. Before he wrote the Mishnah Torah, he first wrote the Sefer HaMitzvos to Rambam, wanted to work out what are the 613 mitzvahs, and they would provide the framework, the skeleton for a Mishnah Torah, for reviewing and a compendium of the entire Torah Shel Peh. The Rambam saw the Taryag mitzvahs as the building blocks, the skeleton of the entire Torah Shel Peh. So in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos, mitzvah asay number 5 is a mitzvah of daily tefillah. Here, take a look at the Ramban. Here we are, Sagas Ramban, Kasav HaRav, that's a reference to the Rambam. The rabbi writes, says the Ramban, Ramban's running critique, his running Sagas on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam writes, HaMitzvah HaMishish Nistavinu Bavodaso, mitzvah number 5, we were commanded to worship him. Right? The same psukim that he later quotes in the Mishnah Torah. V'hu mitzvah betfilah. Lashon sifrei. La'avdo zu tefilah. That's sifrei. That's a sifrei is a medrash halacha by Midbar and Dvarim, which is quoted, as we saw in the Gemara in Tanis. Davbez. Kol eila divrei harav. Rabban says, that's what the Rambam says. Rambam says the mitzvah same in our Torah to daven, based on la'avdo b'chol davchem. Says the Rambam, ve'ein haskama b'zeh. That is not, there isn't haskama. Meaning there is, this is not unanimous. This is not accepted across the board. Shekvar biru chacham v'gemara tefilas rabbanon. He says, very nice to have a sifrei, but I have a bavli. I have a gemara and brachas. Daf chafal from lav. We just saw black and white. Kmo shomer v'shlishi shal brachas. The third paragraph of brachas. Daf chafal. Tefilas rabbanon. So Ramban says, that's nice you have a sifrei, but the Amoraim don't seem to hold that way. Stamed de gemara chafal from lav. So the Ramban says, "Vaday kol inyan hatfila ein achova klal mida oraisa." So this whole idea of tefillah, it's not a chiyuv min haTorah at all. Mimido. Now he's very fast, very very rich. You know, we've all heard. I'm sure many of us have come across in the past. Famous machlokas Ramban whether tefillah is a mitzvah d'oraisa or not. Right? Ramban says a mitzvah d'oraisa. Tefillah Ramban says no. Now. When you hear this a little bit, if you begin to think about it, you know, at first it's a little bit jarring. Rabban holds there's no mitzvah tefillah min haTorah. Is that plausible? You mean the whole? There's no such thing as davening min haTorah? Really? Number one, that's just so jarring. Like God always midrabban, God is listening to me, but min haTorah is not listening to me. What does that even mean? It does. What do the words mean? And moreover, Tanakh is full of tefillah. Tehillim is primarily tefillah. Chumash has so many references to people. Avram davens and Moshe davens. So many. And throughout Nevi'im Ksuvim, Yonah davens, Yishayahu davens. There's so much tefillah. Jews daven, non-Jews daven, Naaman davens. Well, there's more than just daily. I think, Nathan, you're touching on an important point, but let's see, which I think would be a second point. The first point to which Ramban agrees, he says, and he says this immediately. He says, Kol inyan haTefillah, the concept of tefillah is not a chova klal midaraisa. It's not obligatory min haTorah. Aval, humi midos chesed habor yisparach aleinu, sheshomeh va'oneh b'chol koreinu elav. It's one of the extraordinary expressions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed towards human beings. That if we choose to speak, he chooses to listen and respond. So, most basically, what the Ramban is saying is, of course, the concept of tefillah is a concept min haTorah. Right? Again, the reductio ad absurdum of before. Obviously, it's not that davening doesn't count min haTorah. Right? God's listening midrabanan? No, of course not. Tefillah is meaningful. It's just not a chiyuv. Eating is an institution of eating. Even if I'm not obligated to eat every day, but eating exists. It's a biological reality. I don't have to have a chiyuv to eat in order for the institution of eating to exist. And that's a physical, biological reality. But the Rabban would say, tefillah is a metaphysical reality. It's a spiritual reality. It's part of the relationship between God and human beings. And it's a concept that exists in the Torah. It's just not an daily obligation in the Torah. And there perhaps is no periodic obligation, but it's a reality. And it's something that, being that it works, I'm probably going to choose to do if I'm a mammon. But it's not obligatory. It's out there. It's a tool that I have access to. Now, I want to come soon to Nathan's point, which is that there is still a chiyuv tefillah min haTorah according to Ramban. It's just not here. We'll get to that soon. But first, I want to deal with what the Ramban has to say here. Very, very rich. Ramban is left with two questions. We have a hanging pasuk and we have a hanging medrash. Because we do have a medrash that said that la'avda b'chol levavchem ve'avadtem Hashem Elokeichem, that's a reference to tefillah. We have to figure out what to do with the medrash. Maybe let's get, even though that's sort of the second question, let's see that first, and then we'll wrap around. Let's go in order. Let's go in order. So what you do with the medrash is question number two. Question number one, what do we do with the pasuk? What do we do with the pasuk? What does that pasuk mean? La'avdo b'chol levavchem. So here, the next paragraph around is exceptionally fascinating. Over last summer, I began to notice a trend. I found it a few times, but I wonder whether it's actually more common. There are a number of very important seminal passages in the Ramchal's Mesilas Yesharim. He never gives Maor Mukamos. Rav Chatzkel Sarno, I think it is. I think it's Rav Chatzkel Sarno who writes in his introduction to Mesilas Yesharim. His edition of Mesilas Yesharim, he writes, there are many points of similarity between the Ramchal and the Rambam, both in terms of their life stories, very controversial during their lifetimes, and incredibly accepted thereafter. And in terms of Mesilas Yesharim and Mishneh Torah, not only in terms of the people, in terms of those works, the most famous work of each, there's a lot of similarity in terms of the insistence on organization, and the insistence on not quoting naming your sources, which makes learning both Rambam and Mesilas Yesharim rich and sometimes mysterious. The Ramchal doesn't, unlike the Rambam, he will quote Chazal directly. He'll tell you, this is a Gemara here, this is a Gemara, this is a Gemara Moed Katan, and so on and so forth. He'll quote Midrashim directly, but he doesn't quote Rishonim by name. I don't think ever in Mesilas Yesharim. He's clearly quoting them. He's clearly well aware. He's steeped in that literature, but chose not to name them. So it's always, you sometimes wonder who is he quoting. So I noticed that there are, over the course of last summer, that there are a number of passages, several passages in Mesilas Yesharim that seem to be rooted in Ramban's, where he not only is quoting the content of the Ramban, but is definitely very wedded to the language of the Ramban as well. There's one passage near the end of the Ramban's Shar HaGemul, at the end of Taras HaAdam, where he talks about Tzchar V'Yonash, that the Mesilas Yesharim is quoting from heavily. And right here, there's a passage in the Hakdama of Mesilas Yesharim that I believe is based on this Ramban. Ikar HaKaso Avdo B'chol Levavchem. So what is Avdo B'chol Levavchem? This is really, I guess, a sidebar for in the sugya of tefillah, but it's a very rich Ramban. Mitzvah saseh, he says, you know what it actually means, Ramban says, it doesn't mean tefillah. No. Min haTorah, there's no chiyuv of tefillah. You know what that pasuk means? To be worship Hashem with your b'chol levavchem. Mitzvah saseh shetia kol avodaseinu lakel yisbarach b'chol levavenu. It's a chiyuv, it's not a new mitzvah. It's not to now we're being mechayish, you have to also daven, or you have to also shake lulav, you have to also bring a carbon. No, this is a meta mitzvah about how you do the mitzvahs. That when we do mitzvahs, we should do them b'chol levavenu. It's the requirement for wholehearted avodas Hashem. And what does that mean to be avodas Hashem wholeheartedly? Kolomar b'chavana ritzuya shelema lishmo. It means that to be Ovid Hashem b'chalev means not just to do the Maisa Mitzvah, not just to give the tzedakah or to put on the tefillin or fill, you know, shake the lulav, fill in the blank, not only to do the act of chesed, but to do it b'chavana ritzuya shalema l'shmo, to do your mitzvahs l'shem shamayim, as opposed to doing them for ulterior motives, as opposed to doing them for social recognition or for a prize or for what have you. To do mitzvahs l'shma, that's the mitzvah of the b'chol v'avchim. If I put on tefillin shalom l'shma, if I shake luv shalom l'shma, I do chesed shalom l'shma, I give tzedakah shalom l'shma, so I was mekayim tzedakah or chesed or tefillin or lulav, but I wasn't mekayim l'av the b'chol v'avchim, the Ramban says. Fascinating. This is a mitzvah of wholehearted avodas Hashem. Uve'ein hir hara, without any negative thought. Lo, and then the Ramban goes on to say, and if you take a look at Mesil Sharm of the Hakdama, near the end of the Hakdama, he gives these aspects that avoda b'chalev, number one, means that your motivation is pure, your motivation is l'shem shemaim, and number two, lo shenasa mitzvahs below chavana. It also means to not just do them out of rote. It's not only not to do them for ulterior motives, it also means to avoid just doing them mindlessly with no motive whatsoever. Just, you know, show up to shul and fill in off, and sort of just, you know, fly on autopilot. And Baruch Hashem, one of the silver linings of the out of shul and back to minyan is that it definitely got us out of a rut of routine. It has definitely presented many, many new challenges, just in terms of davening alone. But routine is not our issue right now. Right. We have. I was even thinking just about my own experience. You know, this past Shabbos, we were following the guidelines. We were davening without any singing. And as you know, I definitely enjoy singing, but I have to say, I don't remember the last time in my life that I said l'chadodi. And much as it was jarring, and we said, I've been at minyanim in the past where they said keil adam. There's nusach for keil adam. Yes, if you're from Litvish stock. But saying l'chadodi, that was really, you know, threw me for a loop. But at the same time that I definitely miss the singing, and I love the singing, and I think it helps, it deepens my avodas Hashem in certain ways, I'd like to think. At the same time, sort of like the not singing, out of the rut, and actually thinking about what the words are. The words of l'chadodi are fascinating. And when you stop singing, you all of a sudden, that's what he says. Number one, l'shem shamayim. Number two, not out of rote, doing mitzvahs with thought, with one's mind and drive, not with one's mind and neutral. And finally, not to do them al hasafik ulay yesh behem tawelas. Well, maybe this, maybe that, maybe we'll do them, maybe I won't do them, maybe they'll help me out. No, I'm doing l'shem shamayim. I'm with full conviction, with my mind and drive, with my motivations. The motivation focused firmly on the Ribbono Shel Olam. It says, and that, after all, is Avos Hashem, b'chol levavcha, sh'amitzvah le'ahovos Hashem b'chol lev, lev, sh'nistakeim ba'avos b'nafshem u'mamonim, right? B'chol nashcha modecha is afilu notel es nafshecha. But Ava b'chol lev is wholehearted. So Rabban says he doesn't think that la'avda b'chol levavcha means tefillah. No. It means that one's mitzvah, all of our mitzvahs, it's a meta statement about all the other mitzvahs, that all the other mitzvahs need to be done not only b'chitzonius, but b'pnimius. Not only that I'm doing the ma'aseh mitzvah, but that my mind and heart are fully and properly engaged in the mitzvah. It says, but the mashadarshu b'sefrei, la'avdo zehat talmud, or zu tfila, and that's what the Rambam quoted. He says, asmachtei. Asmachta. It's an asmachta. That's, and there are a number of Baitosis also will understand that many of the drushin sifrei are asmachtas, meaning that they're not actual yugamish alternative drushes behem, discovering a din daraisa that's embedded in the text, but instead it's an allusion that Chazal had to a din that they legislated, a din derabbanan. Or he mentions at the end, well, maybe it has to do with this week's parsha, Ahatzar Hatzorer Eschem. And that's fascinating because he says, this idea of Chatzotros, here the Ramban says essentially what the Rama writes in Hilchos Tanyos. V'hi mitzvah al kol tzar v'tzar shetavo atzibur litzok lefanav b'tfilo v'trua. Wow. A mitzvah of za'aka b'tfilo b'eis tzara. So what emerges, Rabosai, is the following. Everyone seems to agree that this week's parasha is a mitzvah of tefillah, but it's not a daily mitzvah of tefillah. It's a contingent mitzvah. It's a chiv. I think that's what Nathan was driving at before. Everyone agrees that the mitzvah of tefillah be'es tzara based on the parasha of Chatzotzros. The Rambam holds that there's a second mitzvah of tefillah, which is tefillah b'chol yom, la'avda b'chol avavchem. The Ramban rejects that. Ramban says, no, tefillah every day is meaningful, but it's only obligatory be'ez tzara. La'av b'chol avavchem means something else. Means something that the Mesilas Yesharim would centuries later quote in the Hakdama. La'av b'chol avavchem has to do with being over Hashem l'shem shamayim, and being over Hashem with full conviction, and being over Hashem thoughtfully rather than out of rote. It's not about tefillah. So that's a machlokas harishonim, and that sort of lays the groundwork for our eon into the world of tefillah. In and of itself, intriguing. And besides the fact that this is the place to start, everyone agrees that tefillah is meaningful, but a machlokas over how often is it d'oraisa, only be'ez tzara, or every day, day in, day out. And even the Rambam agrees that much of Hilchas tefillah is drabanan. The obligation to daven three times a day is only drabanan, and at specific times is only drabanan, and the specific text is only midrabanan. That's Takanas Ezra and the Anshe Knesset Hagadola, 1,000 years approximately after Matan Torah. Anyway, but not only is this the logical place to begin Iyun into the world of tefillahs, whether tefillah is tefillah mitzvah, not a mitzvah, deraisa, drabanan, and so forth. It already opens a couple of curiosities. Number one, this idea that the chatzotros are a form of tefillah. That is, they're an example. We have a chiyuv to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'ez tzara. Both Rambam and Ramban agree, both verbally as well as with chatzotros. And that idea that the chatzotros are a form of tefillah, we may have mentioned in other contexts, the Rav developed at length in Lamdus and in Machshava, that shofar also is a form of tefillah. And one of the easiest ways to demonstrate it is to think about the following. There are many mitzvahs that we fulfill in shul. In the Beis HaKnesset, we fulfill many mitzvahs. Obviously, tefillah, and Kriyat Shema, and Birkas Kohanim, and shofar, and lulav, and Kriyas HaTorah, and Hallel, Mitzvahs D'oraisa, Mitzvahs D'rabbanan. There are a host of mitzvahs, a Kiddush and Havdalah as well. You think about it, there are many mitzvahs. Probably can come up with several more as well. We fulfill tzedakah in shul. There are many mitzvahs we fulfill within the Beis HaKnesses. But how many mitzvahs do we fulfill within Shmona Esrei? And again, now is probably a good time to point out, in the language of Chazal and of the Rishonim, tefillah, we use a tefillah very broad word, tefillah or davening very broadly to mean everything in the Siddur. Chazal used tefillah specifically to mean Shmona Esrei. And let's say that Gemara we saw before in Brachas Chafal Famalav, Kriya Shema as opposed to tefillah. So how many mitzvahs, coming back, how many mitzvahs do we fulfill within the context of tefillah? How many mitzvahs do we fulfill within the context of Shmona Esrei? Very few. We don't say Kriya Shema during Shmona Esrei. We don't say Lulav during Shmona Esrei. We don't say Hallel during Shmona Esrei. We don't give, well, Tzedakah, certainly not during the quiet Shmona Esrei. It would be ideal to give it, many poskim are more comfortable giving Tzedakah during Pesuk Dezimra as opposed to Chazaras HaShatz, but certainly not within the context of our own Shmona Esrei. We don't give tzedakah. But there are certain mitzvahs that we fulfill within the context of Shmona Esrei. If not the quiet Shmona Esrei, certainly the Shmona Esrei of the Tzibur, the Chazaras HaShatz. And they are Birkas Kohanim, and shofar. So Birkas Kohanim is a form of tefillah. That's what a bracha is. A bracha is a tefillah that's phrased with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in third person, addressed towards the target of the tefillah. Typically, when we daven, we speak to Hashem. But when I give a bracha, I refer to Hashem in the third person. May He take care of you. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. But it's a form of tefillah. So the presence of there are other reasons why Birkas Kohanim is in the kind of appears in where it does, but the presence of Birkas Kohanim is not a non sequitur. It's a form of tefillah, so it can certainly fit into Shema Esrei. But shofar, we don't shake lulav during Shema Esrei. Why are we blowing shofar in the middle of Shema Esrei? It's like a once you think about it, it seems like a curious anomaly, and it's one of the many indications that shofar too is a form of tefillah. The Rav developed this at great poetic length. The shofar is like a sort of a primal cry. It's a wordless tefillah. And that idea comes up actually in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. And when we're holding for Dorash as a parsha, we read the psukim in Parshas Kisavo, those four psukim that become the framework and the axis of our Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's four psukim from the Mikra Bikurim, beginning Parshas Kisavo. V'nitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoseinu. We called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you take a look at how the Medrash that we recite in the Haggadah interprets it, it points to a pasuk in Shemos where it doesn't say that we called out to Hashem. It just says we were yelling. We were in pain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could apparently, Bechazdo construed that as being directed towards Him. This idea, this wordless type of tefillah, it's shofar, it's a za'ak of Klal Yisrael in the midbar, and again, it's chatzotzros. Chatzotzros actually are the paradigm, the model for one of the two mitzvahs of tefillah, for the Ramban, the only chi of tefillah min HaTorah. And here we come to our first major kasha, which is, what does it mean? Wordless tefillah? How is tefillah wordless? When you ask yourself, what does it mean to daven? We do like a free association test. I say, davening, what do you think of? So you just quickly listed the first five words that come to mind. Probably we think about the sitter. We think about text, standing, shul, backyard. Nowadays, maybe backyard. Right? Structured, formal, length, words. So this notion that chatzotzros are one of the paradigms of, are an example of tefillah, that blowing the ruvs, understand the shofar is an example of the type of tefillah. The akav, the wordless krechts of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, how is that tefillah? It's important, but it doesn't sound like it's the same thing as davening, if we're going to be honest with ourselves. And here's another question. And going back to the beginning, right? We began with the Rambam says that tefillah is a mitzvah d'oraisa based on a medrash, right? Based on a medrash that the Gemara in Maseches Tanis quoted. Right? The Ramban had rejected. The Ramban said, "No, that medrash is drabanan, and the lav d'chol v'achon doesn't really mean it." And I have a Gemara in brachas. So, in terms of how the Rambam deals with the Gemara in brachas, there could be different approaches. He might say it's a machlokes asugyas. Okay, it's a machlokes din tainus and brachas, and the Amoraim and brachas held that tefillah is rabbanon. But I paskin like the sifrei, the Gemara and tainus quote that sifrei. Okay, machlokes asugyas. So it would not be the by any means stretch of the imagination the first time the Rambam saw stira as a machlokes and paskin like one side. But what's really odd about that drasha. That Ezoi Avodah Shebelev Hevi Omer Zu Tefillah. And again, the Ramban challenged it. He said, maybe there's a different approach, but he did not ask no one asked the following question. It's true, as we say, well, you would have expected Avodah to be something physical. Like bringing carbonus, you use your hands. So the measure is so bothered. What do you mean Avodah Belev? Avodah of the heart. What type of avodah requires the heart? What type of avodah requires a heart? Tefillah? Tefillah? I always thought the organ of the... I mean, obviously it's important to have kavana. I always thought the organ of tefillah is the mouth. If it's tefillah b'tzibur, often also the ears. But the heart? I mean, of course the heart is important. That's true with many misses. The heart is important. As a matter of fact, the Ramban said... Ravan said, no, that means the involvement of your heart and mind in every maisa mitzvah. That fits. That's avodah b'lev, the primius of every mitzvah. So that I understand that there's a notion of chovas, that there's chovas halavavas in every maisa mitzvah. Ramban's approach fits beautifully. But the, and again, it's not a kasha on the Rambam, it's a kasha on the Tanoim and the Sifrei. What do you mean? How did Lev tell you tefillah any more than carbon? Well, when you have a carbon, kavan is also very important. But we said, no, but that's avodah b'yad. So tefillah is avodah b'peh. It's not avodah b'lev. It's bizarre. And the Rambam said, that Sifrei is the source for the mitzvah d'oraisa. So what does it mean? And again, it's not a kasha on the Rambam, it's a kasha on the Tanoim. How do they get from one to the next? Why is the lev any more tip off to tefillah than it is to any other maisa mitzvah? It's a physical maisa mitzvah. We said lav dechu beficha. You know, the Torah says at the end of Chumash Dorim, beficha v'vavcha la'asosa. Okay, so beficha. So if you want to take a reference to pan, say that's tefillah, I understand. So here we are. So where have we been so far? We've laid the groundwork for a methodical ian into tefillah by getting comfortable with the sources in Chumash for tefillah and appreciating the machlokas Rama Ramban, whether, and seeing that really it seems like it may already be a machlokas tanam and amoroim, whether tefillah is derais or not, perhaps. The Gemara in Brachas Chaf Amad Av said clearly that tefillah is Rabbanon, seemed to say clearly tefillah is Rabbanon. While the Gemara in Tanis quoted a Sifrei that Tefillah is Daraisa. Now again, the Ramban said, no, that's Sifrei, it's not meant min HaTorah. Okay. And the Rambam either would say, well, it's a machlokas we don't paskin like Brachas Chafalf, right? Or, by the way, I didn't mention before, he might also say the Gemara there wasn't talking about daily Tefillah. It was talking about more than daily. Right? The fellow became a Valkyrie, he can't, that was the context. He can't, he's not capable of verbalizing the tefillah. Okay, maybe he davened last night. So he was ready to Mekayim, or he'll daven mincha later. I remember, even the Rambam who says that tefillah every day is daraisa, only once a day is daraisa. Okay, so there are ways out. There are gemaras lakan lakan, definitely machlokas Rama Ramban, whether daily tefillah is a chiv daraisa or not. Everyone agrees that tefillah multiple times a day is a chiv drabanon. Machlokas whether daily tefillah is a chiv daraisa. And everyone agrees that Chatzotzros, the only tefillah that everyone agrees is Daraisa, is the one that's ironically rooted in this week's parasha. And again, ironically, because it doesn't, what the Torah speaks about doesn't really require words. And that brings us to our first major question, is what is tefillah that it could be wordless? Tefillah is a recitation of text. And so a parallel question is to understand this medrash that the Gemara quotes in Tainus Daf Beis that the Rambam quoted. And of the B'chol Avachim Zu Tefillah, how is it Avodah Sheba Lev? Tefillah is Avodah Sheba Peh. Lev is important, as it is, as the Lev is important in many mitzvahs. But the organ of Tefillah is Peh. So that lays the groundwork, and that leaves us with certain key questions. Mentioned next week, we're going to move into more fully into the Maamar Makomos. Maybe it's just as well. I only put them out yesterday. I want to take a look, although there's another set of Makoros as well. But you see, on these Makoros, I laid out a discussion amongst the Rishonim about the rules of Hefsik B'Tfilah, and the Machlokas Ravim Raivit about the rules of Ta'us B'Tfilah. If I make a mistake, and I realize I made a mistake, at what point do I say, you already finished your tefillah and you have to go all the way back to the beginning versus just going back to where you made your mistake? We're going to begin next week, as we've seen in the past, to dig into details, to start getting involved with some of the machloks and among Rishonim in terms of different pratim and hilchos tefillin. There's more to come as well, aside from questions of hefsek and tos. That they're fascinating machloks in their own right, and they also will, I believe, begin to build a pattern for us that will be useful in trying to grapple with the larger questions that we're leaving hanging today, of how is Atfila Avodah Shebelev, how are Chatzotros and Shofar, how could there be wordless prayer? Isn't that an oxymoron? And hopefully will give us deep insight into the lumdus of Tfila and into practical Hashkafa of Tfila as well. I both say thank you so, so much.